Hey, Jonathan Goodman here. I have super exciting news. My book, The Obvious Choice, that I've been talking about forever, is almost here. This is published by HarperCollins. The president of Shopify endorsed it. The editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine endorsed it. This thing is going to blow the roofs off, and I'm asking that you please pre-order your copy today on your local Amazon, wherever you buy books. It's available. It's called The Obvious Choice. Hope you pre-order it. Hope you love it.
My name is Daniel. First, I'm a full-time minister for my church. And then second, I'm an online personal trainer, right? And the people that I mainly work with right now are younger guys, 25 to 35, that are career-driven, looking to put on some muscle mass, lose some body fat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the main thing that I wanted to talk about today was that the main clients that I have that are lasting a long time are all people that I've met in person before, and they just coach online with me, right?
Sure.
And so I've had trouble meeting people fresh online and like retaining them as clients. I'll get some people that come on as clients, but retaining them is they always seem pretty wishy-washy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm wondering on my part if there's something in the delivery, you know, of the product on one side of it. Maybe people that just have met me in person trust me a little more. So looking to get some direction and advice on that.
Okay. Tell me about the ministry work that you do a little bit. I'd love to know more about that.
Yeah, so my wife and I moved here a year and a half ago. The ministry work that we do is with college students. Okay. So we work directly with college students. We have a club on the University of Washington and then over at Seattle Pacific University. And it's a ton of one-on-one interaction with people, mm-hmm. building relationships all day. And then, you know, of course, talking about spiritual things too.
Sure. So I'm surprised then, looking at your content that you sent beforehand, I'm surprised that it doesn't have a lot of religious undertones to it. At least not that was immediately obvious to me. Yeah. Is that something that you consciously decided to separate? Is it just like was there a reason for it or no?
Yeah, I've talked about it a few different times with some of the coaches. At OTM, and I think I've just struggled to find a way to incorporate it in a way that doesn't make it seem like I only exclusively work with like Christian people, you know, because I love helping everybody, right? But I have recently thought, do I need to kind of change my avatar a little bit to more make it spiritually focused, because that is something I'm passionate about, and it is a little bit easier to talk about for me.
It's something to think about. Immediately what came to mind, Daniel, with you is just the importance of trust in a coaching relationship. And, you know, is it your product that's not delivering, you know, when these people are dropping off? It doesn't sound like it, because you yourself said the real difference is people like the pattern is quite obvious based off of what you said, right? The people who sign up with you that know you, i.e. trust you, seem to stick around longer. And the people who don't know you as well, who maybe were attracted to you because of something you said on the internet, don't. So it doesn't mean that there aren't improvements that might be able to be made to your actual service, but it doesn't seem like that's the issue. Immediately what came to mind is trust is so important in this game. And trust can be facilitated in three ways. I think about it as a triangle where trust is built based off of affinity, familiarity, and or community. So familiarity is kind of what you're talking about, right? People who have met you at some point in your everyday life are more familiar with you, of course. We trust people that we've shaken their hand way more than people who we've maybe sent a few messages to on the internet. And that's why a lot of the most effective, most scalable things that you can do in business are actually the unscalable things these days.
Yeah, and 100% of those clients are from people that I've met through my church in some way, shape, or form. Because the church that I go to is worldwide, so have
Okay.
people like, in other states, and yeah, all around the US. So that's something that I've really noticed too. I'm like, okay, this might be something that I w might need to or want to
What's
look into
the
more.
church? What's the church?
International Churches of Christ.
Okay. Is it one of the, is there like a central mega pastor or is it?
No. No,
Okay.
it's all group led.
Got it. Is there a central community or place, or are they all individually? I'm just wondering if there's like that's like a potential platform.
Yeah. It is a potential platform. It's all collaborative, so there's not like a one central hub kind of place.
Yeah.
I mean, the US is, supportive of a lot of different, churches around the world, from a financial perspective. But yeah, it's all collaborative.
How many satellite locations are there? Ballpark.
Over 700.
Oh God. Okay. And so is this a church you attend, or do you lead one of the locations?
This is a church that I attend, and I lead a ministry within that location. So
What does that
basically
mean?
a so basically the way the church is broken down is you have the church location as a whole, right?
Yeah.
And then within that church you have different kind of small group ministries, right?
Got
So
it.
I minister to college age students. There's like
I see.
a yeah.
I
Yep.
see. I see. So it's almost like there's the person or people who run the grand church, and then there's somebody specific to each major, call it demographic, that
Yeah.
might have different needs or going through different things. And so you would obviously be better connecting with a young college kid than a 70-year-old, whatever,
Yeah.
grandmother.
Perfect. Yeah.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, and so the other, a major aspect of trust is community, right? We trust people who we are in a community with. I think about how I hired my financial advisor. My financial advisor is a very important coach in my life. And he's also a coach who I pay an extraordinarily large amount of money to. And how did I find him? He was on the board of the synagogue that I used to go to. Now, I have not attended that synagogue for more than 20 years. But my dad sat on the board of the synagogue also. And when my dad's financial advisor was retiring, he was looking for somebody new. And this guy, Ted, was the obvious choice for him. Be not be Because he knew he was a financial advisor. Like, he didn't, you know. And so he gave him a little bit of money to test him out. And Ted did a good job and kept his business. And then when I needed a financial advisor, who did I ask? I asked my father, right? And my dad recommended Ted. And here we are. I gave Ted, I mean, I in fees alone, I give Ted $60,000 to $80,000 a year.
That's
Like
wild.
I will pay Ted millions of dollars over the course of my life. Why? Because he sat on the board of the synagogue with my father, a synagogue that I have not attended for many decades. I don't know what credentials Ted has. I don't know anybody else he's ever worked with. No, I mean, if he didn't do a good job, he wouldn't have kept my business. Of course.
Totally.
But I don't show up as a lost lead to any other financial advisor ever. I've never inquired. I've certainly never watched a financial advisor's Instagram account where they talked about the three things you need to know when looking for a financial advisor.
Yeah.
And so I wonder then whether there's a way to amplify your effect. Like your social media is good, it's fine. Like you come off well. You're a good-looking dude, you speak well, you present well, you're obviously fit. You're what a young man wants to become that's interested in faith, as somebody who's married, fit, strong, faith-based, like everything that you would want to become. You're the example. And so, number one, I think yes, 100% on your social media. Like, if nothing else, at least just mention, like, that as part of your bio. Like, lead the ministry for the International Churches of Christ, University of Washington campus. Just that's about you. Like, it doesn't mean you can't work with a Hindu. You know what I'm saying? But that's about you, and it's an important part of your life. And somebody who is interested in those things, who comes across your material, now would have a reason to perhaps stick around long enough to watch your video about something that you're talking about that's no different from 5,000 other people on the internet who are talking about the same subject.
Yeah.
Because there's really nothing that you can do via content that's superficial that's going to be really differentiated.
Yeah.
It's just... Okay. And so that, but that part of you is, and so somebody who's just scrolling mindlessly or whatever, they come across it or whatever, they might click on your bio and they see that and they're like, oh, that's really cool. And they might check you out a little bit longer. So whether you need to talk about that in your content or not and use faith-based terms or examples or not, you can play around with that, see how it feels. And it might feel good. It might feel not good. I don't know. I don't think that's as necessary, though, as looking at that account, for example, as just when people hit it, hey, we have this in common. They will then immediately trust you more than somebody else if you have that in common.
Yeah.
Somebody who's Hindu or Muslim, you know, it's not that they're going to say, oh, this guy isn't for me, but you clearly don't have that part of you in common. You know, you're not wearing a head covering either. Like, it's so obviously, you know, somebody who they come across that's demonstrating exercises wearing a head covering is going to resonate with them more if all else is equal. That's just human hurting behavior. And then, man, the stuff about the church. There's 700 satellite locations. How many pastors? How many ministers? All of them lead groups. How many ministers are there for different college campuses? Could you put together even a free group program, for example, and invite the different ministers of the different college campuses to join your free group program? As one example, the ministers who run the churches, I would imagine that most of them are like most adult human beings where they want to get in control of their health and fitness and have not been able to. You know, some of them might be fit.
Yeah.
Basic percentages suggest that most of them aren't.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
I would look there.
Sounds good.
I would look there.
Yeah. And I wondered, you know, how, if I start looking that direction, you know, how much is it really going to, like, is it going to be impactful for me to, like, switch my social media kind of concentration over that direction too, you know? Because it's not
so.
Yeah, there's not a ton of that in my audience, you know?
I mean, what's going to happen is this, and this is, I think, actually the best way to use social media for just about everybody who works in our industry, unless they want to use social media to become a full-time entertainer, which is a different game. I think you actually view social media more as a nurturance asset, more as a conversion asset, than you do as a lead generation asset. Not to say it won't ever generate leads, But I would say that you look at that as a happy byproduct of doing the other stuff right.
Okay.
And so as long as you have in your bio that stuff, you know, you show up and you produce the content that you're producing now, it looks good, it feels good. What will happen is all of these things that are impossible to measure, you know, you run a group program for the other ministers on college campuses, or you perhaps start up. Hey, Jonathan Goodman, and I wanted to invite you to pre-order my next book called The Obvious Choice. This is my first traditionally published book. It's been published by HarperCollins. Sam Parr, if you listen to My First Million podcast, called it a much-needed recalibration for a business generation that's focused on the wrong thing at the wrong time. Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, said that if you want to win in business without feeling like you need to win the internet, you gotta get this book. So why pre-order it instead of getting it when it's ready? Well, there's two reasons, really. The first is that it's really, really beneficial for me, selfishly. It helps me a lot. My publishers love it. But the second beneficial for you is you actually lock in the best ever price. No joke, I pre-ordered a book that was $40 not too long ago. And because the price went down over the pre-order period for like a day to $29.99, when the book arrived to me on the day of the launch, I actually got refunded by Amazon $10. Because when you pre-order a book on Amazon, you lock in the lowest price ever. So if Amazon ever lowers the price, which they often do, you're gonna get that price and get refunded, whatever the difference is from when you pre-ordered it. So there's benefit to you, there's benefit to me. Please pre-order the book, The Obvious Choice, anywhere you buy books, but Amazon gives you this other benefit. Hope that you love it. Hope you're good. Podcast for where you're profiling the different leaders of the churches in the International Churches of Christ. And all of this is, of course, sponsored by your coaching company. And your conversations are naturally going to lead into more of a health-based bent.
Yeah.
But then what's going to happen is, oh, what'd you do last week? Oh, I was on this podcast. Daniel, you know, he runs the University of Washington ministry campus. He's a trainer. You know, this guy is great. Oh, I've been looking for a trainer. Maybe I'll check him out. And then that person will go to your Instagram, right? And then you have in your bio who you are and your call to action to DM you in your bio and an invite there. And then that person is going to watch some of your videos and they're going to resonate with you.
Yeah.
The attention is going to be generated elsewhere. And it's going to be generated elsewhere in a trust-based way. Based off of somebody that person knows, admires, works alongside. And then your content's job is to nurture people who aren't quite ready yet, or to help people feel a little bit more comfortable with you, to reach out and systematically over time invite them then to reach out to you with calls to action.
Yeah.
I think that's the game. Could you use the name of the, like, could you use the International Churches of Christ name in media? Like, could you start a podcast, for example, if this is energizing to you? If it's not, you could do it a different way. But could you use the name of the association or no?
That's something I would have to get advice on for sure. Not totally positive on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. You know, like healthy, active living. From the International Churches of Christ by Daniel Corbett.
Sure.
That's badass, man. That's great.
Yeah. What? That would be like a title for what?
That would be, I mean, I would think about that as a title for a podcast. Okay, could be, yeah. YouTube series, could be anything. But the idea there is you use that as a way to invite into conversations other leaders in the ministry.
Got it. Yeah.
And what happens then is you're going to build relationships with these people really strongly because you're going to have these conversations with them. You're also going to be top of mind. I'm sure that there's a big media arm. There's 700 satellite locations. There's got to be a big media arm to it too.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a YouTube.
It's got to be big. So, you know, yeah. be ecstatic if you're producing this stuff, and they'll get wind of it. They might reach out to you. You might reach out to them.
Totally.
And then everybody who you talk to, you ask them, hey, you know, I'd love to, you know, are there one or two other leaders in the ministry that you think I should get to know that you think would, you know, really be able to add value on here? And then they're introducing you to other people. Mm. And it becomes a flywheel.
That's a good point. Yeah.
And it becomes a flywheel. Yeah.
Krista and I are going to work together to do a, like a minister Zoom workshop type of thing. Cool. I wondered if you have any advice on how to kind of promote that a little bit ahead of time. So I'm in like some group me's and stuff like that with ministers from, you know, all around the US, some around the world, mm-hmm. stuff like that.
I would do that not as like a healthy workshop. I would do that as a way to get other, you know, everybody wants to talk about themselves. And so whenever I'm thinking about group calls and stuff like that, my advice is always to look at it and say, oh, actually, my job here is not to present. My job here is to help you look better to other people. And so in that workshop, what I would do is say to them, hey, I'm going to give everybody 5 or 6 minutes to talk about something they're excited about and talk about themselves. And so then you invite 10 or 15 people on each call. And it becomes like not a minister workshop. It's like a minister party.
Nice.
And everybody there, your job is to connect other people to one another. And then on that call, the different ministers, you call on them and you give them each 5 minutes each to basically talk about why they're so great.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
Totally. Just talk about like them in general. It doesn't have to be their ministries or anything like that. Just like them. So
you want to give it some... I got to go here in a minute because Miles is online. Yep. But you got to give it some wrapping. It's got to be contained a little bit. Like maybe you could say like, hey, what's your favorite sermon you ever gave? Or what led you to the ministry? Or something okay. that they're excited about. Something that they're proud of in the past and something they're excited about for the future.
Okay.
And then you just moderate it. Your job there is just to connect people who want to be connected to one another.
Okay. Sweet.
I think that's great. And I think like doing these ongoing is really wonderful too. You know, the goal is to become the center of the conversation, right? The goal is to become the obvious choice to this group. It's not to present your worldly wisdom of fitness to these people.
Okay, gotcha.
Cool. All right, Daniel, sweet. I gotta run, man.
All right, thanks,
thank
man.
You so much. We'll talk soon. Bye.
Peace.